The last time I was given the opportunity to share, we shared about Abraham from what was it, chapter 21. Abraham was old and blessed by God. This is Genesis chapter 21, I think it is. 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So we looked at what does blessed mean? And we came up with three different categories. And who can remember those three categories? Anyone? Mrs. Smith mentioned the first one. Which was what? Well, spiritual is one. What are the other two? Physical and material. So this old world says that if you're blessed, it has to do with material blessings. We have a new car, we have a new house, we have a new whatever, and we have lots of things. All of us who are older realize that the more things you have, the more time it takes to keep the things in shape and working and usable and all that goes with that. But nonetheless, Abraham, the Bible says that Abraham was blessed in his old age. Well, he was blessed before that, but he was well stricken and blessed. So we looked at material blessings, we looked at physical blessings, and then we mentioned spiritual blessings. And I felt like God has been saying ever since, you missed the most important thing, Floyd. I felt like the Lord gave me a good slap up the side of the head and said, hey, hello, hello. And so we're going to look at a few spiritual blessings this evening. And we'll do that quickly if we can. Now, I was thinking we probably ought to write them on the board so that you remember them better, or you have a better opportunity of remembering them. But if you have your Bibles this evening, we're going to turn to Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Here's Paul's greeting that he uses to the churches. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at the blessings here. The blessings, the spiritual blessings, really have to do with the key benefits in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The fact is that we as believers can have a relationship with the God of creation. I don't know, you know, we tend to take things for granted. Do we take things for granted? We tend to take things for granted. To realize that who am I? There's a song that says, who am I that a king would bleed and die for me? And the fact is, who am I that God would choose to bring me to the position where we can have a relationship with the God of creation? That's just astounding. I mean, it really is. The word blessings in Ephesians 1:3 is a translation of the Greek word. Wait for my pastor here to... No. Sorry, pastor. The Greek word eulogy. We use that word anytime. Do we use that word in English? Sure we do. If you've been to a funeral, they'll say, and so-and-so is going to do an eulogy. In other words, what does that mean? Well, a eulogy means to speak well of. Have you ever been to a funeral where they spoke not well of? I mean, it doesn't matter how bad the guy was or the woman was, we're going to point out all the good things, and nobody says anything about all the rest. But anyway, eulogy. It means to speak well of. Since God is the one acting in this verse, we can say that God has spoken good things about us. Now, I don't know about you, but there are things that I have done that would not be well spoken of. And you too. All of us have the fallen human nature, and all of us at one time or another have done things and said things and been places where, anyway, God is the one acting. God has spoken good things about us or pronounced good things for our benefit. The good things that God has decreed for us are probably beyond our ability to number. But we're going to look at a few of them here in Ephesians chapter 1. The first blessing is found in verse 4, where it says, "According he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." So, the first blessing listed is the election of the saints. Ephesians 1:4 says he's chosen us. He's chosen us before the foundation of the world. I confess, I've only recently got my head around the fact that the book of life has every human being's name in it from conception, if I understand correctly. And those who do not receive Christ, their names are removed from the book of life, and that's why at the great white throne judgment, the book of life is a book that God uses to determine the book that God uses and shows, or can show to the person in front of them, look, your name is not here. You have not accepted my provision for eternal life, so your name's not in the book of life. So your ultimate destiny is the lake of fire. So this is, as I said, I used to think that when a person trusted Christ, our name was written in the book of life. But now I'm more and more convinced that our name is written there upon conception. So what does that mean for all the aborted babies? You better believe it. They'll be there. Because their names are written in the book of life. Sad, that whole sad thing, but nonetheless. So, God has chosen us to make us notice what it says. The latter part of verse 4, that we should be what? Holy and without blame. How do you do that? Can you, Silas, can you generate holiness by yourself? Amen. And the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. But notice the goal. The goal. One of these days, we'll put a big target on the board up here with an arrow, and then we'll work out what it is that God wants us to be, and where does he want us to go, and what does he want us to do? I've had young people say, "Boy, I wish I knew what God wanted me to do." I said, "Hang on a minute. I'll write you a list of at least 20 things that the Bible speaks specifically about what God wants a believer to do. And one of those is to be holy." Holy means that you, with the power of God and the work of the Holy Spirit, that you live a life free from sin. Can you attain to that? No, because we have a fallen nature. But that's the target. That's the goal. Okay, so God's chosen us to make us holy and blameless. What a blessing that even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, this is found in chapter 2 and verse 5. If you haven't got your head around this, chapter 2 and verse 1. If you haven't got your head around this, now is a good time to do it. "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were" what? Were you dead before you accepted Christ? So you were the walking dead. Spiritually, yes. You were dead. Just like Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve sinned, spiritually they died immediately on the spot. "So you hath he quickened, made alive who were dead." How much work can a dead person do? You sure about that? We have lots of people in this world who think they can do works that will please God even while they're dead. You get your head around it, or are you getting your head around it? I had the privilege of sharing with our Jubilee staff in the last week the four places in the book of Hebrews where it says that Christ sat down on the right hand of the Father. Seated priest, finished work. He paid it all. There's a song that talks about the fact that he paid it all. But if you haven't underlined, highlighted, done whatever for Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you need to do that, because whenever you meet up with someone who says, I'm working my way there, or I'm doing a lot of good works, and hopefully they'll balance off my other works, well, hey, you know that they're not on the path. Second blessing, found in verse 5, adoption as his children. Not only has God chosen to make us holy, but he grants us full status as his children. Now, Elijah was talking about this little girl that was bought at the market. Was that the way it was? Bought at the market. And by the way, there are millions of those children around the world. Anyway, grants us full status as his children with all the benefits. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave them power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. We are part of his family. That's one of the spiritual blessings. Third spiritual blessings, we're accepted in the beloved. The word is related to grace and gives us the idea of making us graceful. Some of us have a long way to go. Wouldn't you agree, Pastor? We won't mention any names, but we could use some initials, you know, some. I said us, you know, I'm included. God wants to make us graceful, accepted in the beloved. When we put on Christ, the Father sees his loveliness when he looks at us. Isn't that astounding? That instead of seeing us for who and what we are, he sees us as the finished work that we are through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the finished work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. He sees us as finished. Oh, wow. Ephesians 1:7, the fourth blessing is redemption through his blood. Redemption speaks of buying one's freedom, paying a ransom. I shared again before here how that he owned us. When he created Adam and Eve, all of Adam and Eve's descendants, God owned by virtue of creation. So now he has to buy us back. He has to buy us out of the slave market of sin. And if you do some research on redemption, you'll find that that's what the scripture was talking about. It's as if we're on the slave block and God's bidding for us and paying for us because of sin. And he did that. He paid the penalty through his son on the cross of Calvary. So redemption, buying one's freedom by paying a ransom. The price of our sins, the payment to buy us out of eternal condemnation, was fully paid by the blood of Christ. Verse 7 describes the fifth blessing, the forgiveness of sin. Now, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his riches in his grace. If we had time, we're not doing this justice, and I know we're not doing this justice, but nonetheless, forgiveness. How many of you have asked someone for forgiveness? And how did you feel when it was done? Well, you see, we have forgiveness for our sins. No matter what they were, no matter how horrible they were, we have forgiveness for our sins. And we can have the peace that passeth all understanding, knowing that we have forgiveness from the God of creation. Not just from another human being, but from the God who created us and wants us to be part of his family. Sixth spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1:8-10. This is the mystery of his will. God has given us wisdom and insight through His Word and has shown us His desire to bring all things together to glorify Christ. All creation was made by Him and is for His good pleasure, according to Revelation chapter 4. The consummation of His plan is when everything and everyone is brought in line to glorify Him. And it's coming. There's a coming day. But we can align ourselves now by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can align ourselves with Him by faith, become part of His perfect plan and purpose. Verse 11 says that another blessing is the inheritance that is given to us through Christ. There's a song that says that we are joint heirs with Jesus. Can you fathom that? Not only does God save us, He made us joint heirs. Joint heirs. So all the blessings that are Christ's in the future are also ours. Joint heirs. First Corinthians 2:9 says, "But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Hallelujah. You looking forward to it? You wish it were tomorrow? Some of the young people say, "Now hang on a minute, I want to get married first." Another blessing is found in verse 13, where it is the sealing of the Holy Spirit. When we become God's children, He places His mark of ownership on us, guaranteeing our eternal security. If our names are written in the book of life and the book of life is kept in heaven, how are you going to get your name out of there? Unless you go to heaven and take it out. But you see, the Holy Spirit has sealed us with God's own seal. So we have guaranteed fellowship with Him, guaranteed security as His child. This is spoken as a down payment of our full redemption to hold us until the day when we have it in total. Well, the list could go on. Speaking of the privileges of ours that are ours in Christ, we are co-laborers together with God from 1 Corinthians 3:9. We are ambassadors bringing the message of reconciliation to a foreign land, 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are the bride of Christ, 2 Corinthians 11:2. We have available to us the peace that passeth all understanding. I love that passage. Philippians 4:7. And the assurance that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus from Romans chapter 8, 39. So this is a taste of some of the spiritual blessings that are available to us as His children, as those who have trusted Christ as their personal Savior. So I trust that you at least have an introduction this evening. I highly recommend that you take some time and work through Ephesians chapter 1. Just whenever you get downcast or discouraged or whatever. And that reminds me that you ought to keep a joy file. I mentioned it before. You have a joy file? Everybody have a joy file? You ought to have a joy file. You know why you need a joy file? Because whenever the devil attacks, and he will, I promise you he will, and whenever you get discouraged, you just open your joy file, and there you read of the times when God blessed in unusual circumstances. So when God blesses in an unusual way, just write it down and put it in your joy file. I have a file in my filing cabinet called my joy file. And there are a whole bunch of sheets of paper in there. So when someone says something nice about me, which is very rare, but when it happens, I put it in my joy file. See, and the more rare it is, the better it is. And then when God answers prayer, and when you're able to share the gospel with someone you've been wanting to for a long time or trying to for a long time. There are all kinds of things you can put in your joy file. When your rich uncle died and left you $1 million, is that worthy of the joy file? Probably not. It'd get you into more trouble than, you know. I'd like to take just a few more minutes in Ephesians 1, because the passage from 19 through 21, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Keep an eye out for the word power here, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things in the church, to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now there are three Greek words that are translated, all translated power here. One of the things about the Greek language I shared some time ago with someone who said, why was the Bible written in Greek? Because it was such a terrific language. You could say what you meant and mean what you said, and it could be recorded accurately. But in English, we're at loss sometimes for words to describe certain aspects because, yeah, anyway. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power? Well, this is the word dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. Now, I confess, I used to think that this was a once-of kind of thing. You know, dynamite goes off once and bingo, it's done. But no, speaking of the power of God manifest toward believers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power, that is the dunamis of God unto salvation. Dunamis power does not stop with salvation, but is toward us, setting us free from strongholds, setting us free. This dunamis power is available through the person and work of the Holy Spirit so that we can be set free from, well, what is it you need to be set free of? Ah, too much selfies, too many selfies. Too much, I can see people saying, only I hope he doesn't mention that, you know. This same dunamis power, I believe this is the power that brought, we'll have to think about that, but whenever I think of dunamis power, I think of Jesus rising from the dead. Now, whether it was the power, the dunamis power, or whether it was simply authority is another matter. But this same dunamis power is to flow through our life as we witness and minister. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive what? And what kind of power is it? It's a dunamis power. It's a power to get things done. It's a power that enables us to get things done. Dunamis power. Then in verse 19, Kratos power is described as mighty power. Dominion was first given to man in the garden. This dominion was lost in the fall. Anyway, it has to do with the mighty power. Then, Ephesians 1:21, power or exousia, authority and influence. And I confess that I don't know where or what happened, but I used to say that there is only two Greek words that translated power, but there are really three, as I'm just sharing. So every unsaved human being is under the spiritual influence and authority of the devil. Is that true? I ask. Ephesians 2:2 says, in time past, before we were saved, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Upon the new birth, the devil's influence has been broken off of the life of the believer. Colossians 1:14, who Jesus hath delivered us from the power, exousia, of darkness. Anyway, we could go on. But to understand that God wants to bless us with spiritual blessings, and he wants us to avail ourselves of the power that is available from him, working through the power of the Holy Spirit to us.